Good morning. Welcome to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Very nice to have you with us. And it's the last day of March. It's hard to believe. We are almost a quarter of the way through the year, and there we go. So we welcome you to this day and to our conversation, and we thank you for being with us. Let me introduce you to our panel. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I attached the hose so that the water comes out, and now I hear we're going to go into another deep freeze. So either I have that's right. We're going to have a deep freeze over the weekend.
Leave the hose attached. Just go for it.
Yeah, I think you're okay.
Maybe just a little water coming out of it, you know, so a little drip, 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 drip.
Yeah, it'll be warmer closer to the house.
It's not close to the house.
Oh, well, then you may be in trouble. I don't know. Rosemary, how's your...
I have no hose problems.
Okay. Well, good for you. So...
I'm shutting up.
Rosemary Arbeo is an investigative reporter. She is also a journalism professor at the University at Albany, and she joins us each and every day, and we couldn't be more happy for it. thank you very much for being here.
Oh, you're welcome.
And Rich Onan, who is a corporate attorney and who joins us every week or so, and we thrilled... we're thrilled to have Rich back. Thank you, Rich.
Sup?
don't hold back, Rich.
Today he'll be telling us that the Republican Party does not have a war against women. I can't wait.
Okay. Well, let's go there,
Listen,
shall we?
All you picked was Trump and abortion. You couldn't find anything controversial, Joe?
Look, I tried really hard. So this Donald Trump story is
amazing.
Fascinating. It really is fascinating. So this comes on the same day as the new FDA guidelines easing access to the abortion pill. So let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about the other stuff here. The Food and Drug Administration has relaxed the guidelines for taking a pill that induces abortion, reviving one of the most contentious issues of the abortion debate. The change allows women to use the drug further into pregnancy and with fewer visits to the doctor. The announcement on Wednesday came unexpectedly in the final stretch of the Obama administration and amid an election campaign in which both parties covet the women's vote. Some abortion opponents charged that the new regimen was politically motivated. The FDA said its actions were based strictly on medical science.
Well, I think that's baloney, first of all. They said the manufacturer of the drug submitted the request for this change, for this easing of the rules 10 months ago, and they simply followed the procedure they always do. But everything about the FDA is politicized. I don't believe that it didn't happen. It's definitely a win for pro-abortion and pro-choice people. It makes a lot of sense that pill never needed to require three doctor's visits, and the dosage would be lowered, so it's safer for women to use now. Overall, medically, it's a great thing, but yeah, it's going to play into this whole contraceptive abortion debate we have going on, which we have on every election. Absolutely.
I just want to point out before we get beaten up in the email that. And I know that somebody from the front will find my device and bring it in here. But that we'll get mail saying people aren't pro-abortion. There are other.
Yeah, I know. I reject that labeling. Pro-choice and pro-life is code for pro or anti-abortion.
Yeah, I think
so. We will speak plainly.
You got a point there.
Also, there is Rich. Did you want to weigh in on that at all?
No. I agree about the politicization.
Right.
Look, the typical conservative talking point, not on abortion per se, but on taking kind of sweeping action via regulation versus, you know, legislation. You know, we'd like to have a debate. Normally, I would make that point. The problem is, and Rosemary, you and I talked about this last week. In the abortion or pro-life or pro-choice, in that issue, even if we in this country were good at talking to each other about important issues, which unfortunately at the moment we are not, but I think even if we were, it's just too deeply, the beliefs are too deeply held to have, a debate, I think, on the core issue.
I agree.
Right? I mean, it's two groups who believe very sincerely that they are defending very fundamental rights,
absolutely,
on both sides.
Yeah,
so normally I would say I decry the regulatory action because it's something that should have been discussed at greater length. But in this particular issue, I don't know where that would have gotten us.
And the doctors, the doctors have been following the procedure that's now regulation for years. So it could have gone on without any kind of controversy. But on the other hand, there are those who would say it ought to be the regulation. Why is this treated differently than any kind of medical procedure? Why are you taking 600, whatever it is, mg's instead of 200? That's not good. It doesn't increase anyone's. It doesn't increase the value of that drug to anyone. But abortion is just a completely different matter in this country, and to suggest otherwise is just not being realistic.
Yeah, and the best we could talk around the edges of the issue. We could talk about the way in which it was done. At some point we'll talk about Trump and whatever his views as of, I don't know, when I walked into the studio, I don't know what his views were. They might have changed since then.
Right.
But so we could talk about around the outside of the issue, but it's a terribly important issue.
I don't think the government should be involved in abortion at all. I think people who think it's murder are equally right in their own mind and view as those who think it should be the right of every woman. So government shouldn't be involved in it at all. That's what I think. And Republicans who don't think that government ought to be involved in the small things in our lives, why they are so concerned with this, it seems wrong. But you've just pointed it out. It's fundamental to them. They do believe it's important.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Donald Trump and the abortion issue more. We welcome your comments. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll be right back. The New York Times puts it like this. Every day it seems that Donald Trump must soon run out of ways to counteract negative perceptions of his campaign, and yet he has continued to find new ones, as he did on Wednesday. In a town hall-style forum with Chris Matthews of MSNBC, Mr. Trump, a late-in-life convert to an anti-abortion view, said that he believed should a ban be put in place on the procedure, that women who get one should face a punishment of as yet undetermined length. The uproar, surprisingly, was swift and extensive as Democrats condemned the remarks as dangerous and anti-abortion campaigners said that Mr. Trump had misstated their goals, and the other Republican candidates in the field also pounced on the frontrunner in the Republican Party. The Cliff Notes version of this, that in 3 hours there was three different positions. Originally, the statement that made in the interview with Chris Matthews was that there should be a punishment for the woman. Then he came out with a statement saying that it was up to the states. And then he came out and said that when he said punishment, he meant punishment for the doctors. There should not be punishment for the women. Because they are the victims. All right.
Well, okay. Let's just contextualize this. He's about to have a Wisconsin primary, as we know it. He's fallen behind.
10 points.
Okay, he's 10 points behind. Right.
He's 10 points behind Cruz now.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
So because Walker came out for Cruz.
So he throws a Hail Mary pass. That's what this is. I've got to be more outrageous than the other guys when it comes to the abortion question. So I'm going to do this because I know that it's going to help me. Turns out it was a huge mistake. It was beyond that. It really made him look like a nut.
You think it was planned?
Yeah. That was exactly the question I was going to say. Because he seemed like he was just, off the cuff, didn't know the issue. It did not seem planned to me. Rosemary?
I don't think it was planned. I don't think anything he does is planned.
That's right, Rosemary, which is what he always does. He uses his intuition as to what will help him. You're going to build a wall. Fine. You're gonna forbid Muslims to come into the United States.
Yes.
These are the ways that he has always sort of gotten by. But up to now, this was so serious that he really put his foot into it.
Alan, I think those first two issues, and I know everybody disagrees with them, but I think those first two issues are things that he has thought about and actually has a belief
position,
system.
Yeah, yeah. As much as he has a position paper in anything,
correct.
He had a position on
this one. I just think I didn't think it was planned out, and I went back and looked at it a little bit. I think it sounds like he was interpreting the question as though So if abortion were illegal and people got an abortion, what should happen if you do something that's illegal? And I think that's what he was answering, but I won't attempt to get into his mind.
I don't think, but if he's
that Machiavellian, that would be a scary thing. I thought what you were going to say, Alan, was that in the last week, Trump has done two things that he hasn't done before.
Interesting.
One, and both of them are taken from the more traditional political playbooks. One was when he gave a speech to AIPAC and read a speech.
Yes.
Right? First time he's done that. Mm-hmm. And then second...
He's the teleprompter and all that, too.
Right. And then second, he misspoke whatever he did. He did something wrong. And he actually...
Recanted.
He walked it back.
He did.
Now, those are two things that are... Those are right out of the traditional playbook. And I wonder is he listening to somebody? Is he changing? Does that scare you at all? I mean, obviously everything about him scares somebody. But, I mean, does that make you think, Alan, that he's actually listening to... Is this more political acumen than he showed before?
He's starting to listen to his advisors. No, I'm standing with my story. I truly believe he panicked because of Wisconsin. And he doesn't want that thing to turn around. And he knows that the momentum could turn around, as it has with others. Hubert Humphrey versus Kennedy. Wasn't he Humphrey and Kennedy? Or Johnson? Johnson. Johnson and Kennedy. Wisconsin became the turning point.
No, Johnson had already said he wasn't going to run.
I don't remember. But
this.
Everybody will say that Wisconsin was the turning point, for JFK getting, and we'll have 14 letters right now, getting the nomination. I think he's worried. I think he was worried, and I think he reached too hard. I don't think he's a stupid man. I think he's an intuitive man. Some people think he's an evil man.
I think he has promised all along that when he had to, he would become more presidential. And so, therefore, your analysis, Rich, that he's listening to advisors, he's preparing a speech, wow, he's being more careful when there's a bad reaction
as
it was here.
Yeah.
I think that, however, it all got blown up because Alan is also right. He's impulsive and intuitive. And so the whole blow up over his campaign manager comes right in the middle of these two events. So it kind of spoils the effect that he's becoming more presidential.
It certainly in the Anderson Cooper town hall the night before,
that was
vintage Trump in most cases. But also to your point, Rich, which I think is interesting, is that if that's the case, and I believe that you are right to a certain extent, to Alan's point, is that going to play with his base?
That's the interesting thing. And by the way, Edmund Muskie.
There you go.
I think it was Muskie and Humphrey
good.
And I wasn't
without
looking
even
it up.
Google.
Yes,
good for you.
Well, I could be wrong, so somebody will tell us.
Well, I mean, here we are. We should remember that stuff.
Joe, Musky, that's a good point. I got a ton of texts and emails from people while Trump was actually giving his AIPAC speech, and everybody was that day, right? Hillary the day before or whatever that day, and I heard a couple of people saying, "Oh, he's reading a speech. Here it comes. It's the big change." You know, they're calling it
right,
the de-Trumpification.
Right.
You know, which is interesting. None of this is going to, I don't know that any of this is going to particularly help him with whatever segments he hasn't gotten any traction in anyway.
So do you think he's right about women should be punished? You ban abortion, so women who then participate in a banned activity should be punished.
I think he, to the extent he even said that, I think he recanted that.
Okay.
He did say in his third statement, and by the way, we'll notice that as of... for people who watch such things, that by 9 o'clock, and I don't know what happened over the last half hour because I've been here, but up until 9 o'clock, usually he will have tweeted 4 or 5 times. He has not tweeted anything this morning, which is also kind of fascinating. Alan,
Bill,
yes.
I just wanted to say that Bill says, Alan, I don't get it. If one believes abortion is murder and the woman is involved in this act, doesn't it follow that the woman should be punished?
Yes.
By the way.
I'm pro-abortion.
Well, there's a was in here. By the way, okay, I'm pro-abortion.
That's exactly my question. Good letter, Bill. It does have some sense. My mother and I debate this all the time, abortion. She believes it's murder, and she said, yeah, they should be punished. So there is a certain surface logic to it. I don't think he
and
made
do they vote in
primaries?
And do they vote in primaries is the question.
Yeah. Well, and Chris Matthews, who I have a, you know.
A what?
I was going to say a love-hate relationship with.
Okay, I'm half
with you on the second half.
Yeah, okay. Well, he's a Philadelphian. I can't dismiss him entirely. But
a Philadelphia lawyer.
Well, okay.
No, I made that up. It's a great song.
Oh, okay.
Okay. By Woody Guthrie. Yeah.
Well, on that note, we'll take a break because we're out of time. And then we'll get to the news, and then we'll come back. We'll discuss this. We'll go to letters. We'll talk about other topics. Everybody will, it'll all be good. Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan are all here. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org, and we will be back after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion for this Thursday, the 31st of March. Very nice to have you with us. And our panel this morning, Alan Chartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Rich Honan. Let us go to some letters, and then we will move on quickly to some other subjects that we want to get to.
Well, we sure have a lot of letters. Barbara says, the GOP debates are the only reality TV I watch, and I have had a good laugh at the candidate's expense. I believe, however, that with women's perception of Trump already so low, coupled with his despicable comments yesterday, the American people are getting tired of his, quote, reality campaign. It is nearing the end of its season and will not be renewed for prime time.
I do have a question. Well, I do have a question. Does anyone know the answer to this? And I've tried to look it up quickly, and I wasn't able to, but does anyone know the answer? Was he ever polling ahead in Wisconsin? Has he fallen behind, or was he never expected to win?
I believe my instincts, my faulty memory, as you know, tells me he was ahead, and then he's falling behind.
I don't remember him being ahead. I do remember the first poll I saw was after the Walker endorsement.
Endorsement. Yeah. Well, that was just this week. I'm wondering, like 2 weeks ago, was he still ahead? And we're seeing a decline, or are we?
I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know.
All right.
There's also a ton of internal negative ads, and as well as the internal politicking by Cruz to get the pick off the delegates.
Right.
So that's got to have an effect. The problem, I agree with her letter. The problem is, every time everybody says this is the last straw,
this is the one. This is what'll blow them out.
Now,
no,
maybe this
doesn't
is,
happen.
But I think we're all in the dark.
And there is a sort of schizoid approach. Major corporations have long ago said we want nothing to do with Trump, and yet he pulls ahead. Okay, but let me just go and read you Michael's.
May I
note.
Just?
Sure, of course.
Real quick. According to the Marquette poll that now shows Cruz ahead by 3. And Trump down.
That's not statistical.
I thought it was 10.
Yeah, 3 is right in the margin of error.
I'm just saying that poll, that same poll from February showed Donald Trump 10 points ahead in Wisconsin.
That's what I thought.
Okay.
Alan was right again.
Alan was right again. That's why I wanted to.
Thank you.
Set that record straight.
Did you just make a sound?
No, sir.
No. Okay.
No, it was her chair. So
Michael says, "Hey, Rich, I'm interested to know if it's Trump versus Hillary. Where's your vote?"
There's a lot of because my conservative friends have put it this way: the only person that could make me vote. I've had some conservative friends say, and this is not me. The only person that can make me vote for Hillary is Trump. The only person who can make me vote for Trump is Cruz.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
I have to be honest with you. I don't disagree. I mean, I'm certainly going to vote for the Democrat. There's no question in my mind. But I agree with you that Cruz is more dangerous than Trump.
How about if you're on the Democratic side, who do you least want to face?
Oh, no, I think Hillary's a far more dangerous person for any
Republican. No, I understand that. No, I'm saying it's Hillary.
Who does Hillary want?
Who does Hillary,
or Bernie
who are Hillary,
wants to run against?
Hillary and the strategists, who do they?
Oh, Trump. I mean, and Cruz. There is no question.
Look, they'd rather run against Cruz.
Absolutely. He's so far to the right that no matter how fast his legs try to bring him back to the middle, he won't make it. He'll look like a total hypocrite, and he won't make it. And therefore, he doesn't get the middle, and he loses.
And Trump is just—it's just the fear of the unknown.
Well,
you don't know how to combat it.
The deal maker, Trump, will say anything he can in order to get votes, and we all know that already.
Well, that's the game.
And
right?
Trump has some positions that really do appeal to Democrats.
Oh, he had some too, Rosemary. In the old days, like when he was
pro woman's
right to choice.
Right.
Well, on those we've always said on this show on those few occasions when he
veers into policy, right? It's really very middle of the road.
It is.
It's all, now it's almost and it's almost isolationist, almost like you know Rand Paul. Yeah. You know, in
some
ways.
Nuclear proliferation. Oh yeah, Saudi Arabia is going to have
Michael
no
says,
problem.
Michael says then there's nuclear proliferation, meaning you could be talking about that.
Odd that it's abortion we think might trip him up, and not his bizarre views on NATO
that's
nuclear proliferation,
or immigration,
immigration.
Well, NATO hasn't been terribly effective in the last few years combating the Middle East.
Our regular
it hasn't been involved in the Middle East. That's what NATO's not set up to do, though. It's Europe.
Yeah, but that's
we haven't used
you kind of have you got to send the armies where you can't hope that a war comes to where you happen to have your army.
I wrote
you
a
have
column
to go to where the wars are.
I wrote a column recently in which I said. In which I said we really are in trouble with nuclear proliferation because, you know, you got a Korean nut over there who could send one our way anytime, and you have missing nuclear devices.
Right.
You have, you know, unstable regimes which could take over a place where there is a nuclear device and send one up and would, if they're willing to kill themselves, they're willing to kill you. I mean, it's that simple. So I think the point is well taken. Okay. Tom says
I won't hit the easy softball about the whole Iran thing. I know you guys are sick of hearing that. So
yeah, we don't like what you say. Right.
Yeah, we don't
just
like
be
that.
Quiet,
man. Okay. Tom says
that's not nice.
Why are we getting nuts over a hypothetical question? Abortion is legal, a la the Supreme Court.
Because if there's a Republican president, then there's going to be a different Supreme Court, and Roe v. Wade disappears.
Of course, of course.
Hypothetical, but not out of the realm of reason.
Yeah, that's true. Okay. Dear folks, as a red-blooded American male, I may have to vote for Trump. I would not have to be responsible for anything I say or do or never even have to apologize. And that's from Mark.
Isn't that a Beyonce song? If I were a boy?
I think you're, yeah.
Okay.
And then we heard from Maureen, who said, "Dear folks, Trump is controlling the news cycle with this nonsense. I'd much rather hear how his campaign finances work, or the details of his financial successes, or that seems to be his bona fides with a segment of the electoral, or who his advisors are in foreign policy."
You've heard all of that in the media. The media's reported on all that. Yeah. Didn't you think that Chris Matthews did a bit better job getting real information out of Trump than Anderson Cooper?
No, actually, I think they both did good. I thought Anderson Cooper did a very good job.
Annoying me.
If
Donald Trump used that, excuse me, with his finger up there in the air, and Anderson just shut up, Chris Matthews is another blowhard and yells back at him.
It was to be an interview.
You make a point.
A lot of it is the format. It was town hall.
Yeah,
so
that's
it was trying to get the information out to the people and let them speak and to get out of the way. Mm-hmm. Not an interview as the Chris Matthews thing was. I found that town hall to be much more informative with all of the candidates than I do any of the debates.
Mm-hmm. But Joe, consistent with not but I agree with you, but consistent with our theory that maybe Trump is turning his campaign a little more towards the traditional side, maybe, you know, the internal decision was made that we're going to be a little more forthcoming on issues, and you know, at the time, and these last two interviews just kind of picked that up.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think it's the Wisconsin primary, but I've said that already. Cody says, "Good morning, panel. I think Rosemary's point, like always, is well taken. If you think that abortion is murdering an unborn child, shouldn't someone be punished? I don't agree with this perspective, but why wouldn't the mother and the doctor be punished?"
Yeah, there's a point to that.
Well,
if you take the abortion part out and somebody said, okay, so if something was made illegal and then somebody did it, should there be a consequence?
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
That's a different conversation, but when you with the overlay of
it's not like we're saying, he's crazy and he's like out of control. And like, no, actually, I think there's a little logic.
And he could,
fortunately, the president is emptying the prisons of drug offenders. And so there'll be room for all those people getting abortions.
And Guantanamo, too, right?
Yeah, right. We can put them there. Why not?
James says, Peggy Noonan on CBS this morning speculated, wearing her Freud hat, that Trump realizes that the presidency is not for him and is deliberately self-destructing. I sure don't agree with that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
And good morning, panel. Trump.
Where does she have the legs that she does? She worked for Reagan, and she's still this big...
A speechwriter.
She was the thousand... She was. I thought, wasn't she the thousand points of light?
Yeah, she did that. Yeah, she wrote that. But her first job was with Reagan, and she still is like this. They love her as a conservative commentator. I'm not so sure she's right on.
What was about the Trump? Somebody said too much Trump.
Yeah,
I agree with
him. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Don't we all? I mean, aren't we sick of this?
Well, I don't know. I understand the economics of Trump and the media. That's the point.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, from Megan says, are they in quotes going to punish the father as well as the mother?
No, of course not. It's only the women can who I carry just, the can welfare I go back? Kings. Never hear of them. No, it's welfare queens. Women get it.
Can I go back just a tick? And that is, yes, I agree completely with the economics of Trump. Of you know, he sells newscasts as a radio station that does not.
Right.
And so let me ask Alan, if you do an open forum as you did on Tuesday, and you talk about Trump, all the lines are loaded. Yes.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah. I mean, there's an interest.
He fills content.
I mean, it's not.
I mean, I know you're not selling it, but there's still content to be filled.
Yeah, but people
and
want
he fills
like,
content.
But Alan will come on the air and talk about five different things: the Hillary, Bernie, this, and this, and what every call seems to be about is Trump.
Correct.
And that's what I find fascinating. Like, we complain about it, and yet we're also the ones that are ultimately interested slash fascinated in
it. It's layered because what happens is somebody will call up and say, of course that happens. That's because we've been fed this pablum. You know, I mean, there's always an answer.
We're training
to all of that.
I wonder if the next step in his campaign is going to be, one, that he starts to kind of square up a little bit. But the other, I know this is totally counterintuitive. I wonder if he starts casting himself as the underdog in that the Republican Party's against me.
Well, he's already doing
that. And the PACs are against me.
But
more so, you know, like poor me, you know.
Right. I want to know, because I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think so is he. He walks into the convention the first day. The chairman of the convention, who's that's going to be Ryan, right? I think it's Ryan.
Paul Ryan?
Yeah. Bangs down the gavel.
Boy, is he ruining the day he took that job.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What have I done?
Puts down the gavel and says, do I hear a motion from the floor? Some guy stands up and says, I move that in order to be the designated candidate, you have to have 75% of the delegates. And then he's, hearing no objection, by acclamation, and everybody else, yay! During that time, and Trump is out. And Trump is out. And he says, there'll be a riot if you do that, or but I say, what does that do to the modern Republican Party?
But I agree, but look, I have zero sympathy for the modern Republican Party, okay? And I do think we still need a two-party system. I don't think it should be these two parties, but I'll tell you.
We all agree with you on that, Rich.
No, well, the Whigs will come back.
You know, I look at things in a corporate way. If the Republicans were a corporation, were a business, and after Obama got elected in 2008, why did they not start thinking about this? Why did they not start really developing their just like any business? Why
didn't
they start bringing people?
Rich, they did.
No. Did they?
I'm sorry. Let me just finish this one sentence. They absolutely did. They talked about access for getting some African Americans back. They absolutely talked about getting people Latinas back into the thing. But they got screwed by the small number of people who show up, the Tea Party people who show up in these elections. But believe me, Rich, they did. All their analysis showed that they did.
No, but I understand who they were trying to make their outreach to. But I'm saying, why didn't they develop their management strength? Why didn't they bring, you know, whether it's a Jody Ernst or somebody, you know, or whoever, you know, and start bringing those people up? And then how did they let the Mitch McConnells of the world hijack the party and the John Boehners of the world hijack the party in the face of what their base, you know, extreme opposition from their base.
Wasn't that the line that look at the 17 people we have running for president? Look at this rich bench we have. Look at all these people qualified. They're all better than the Democrats who are out there.
Yeah,
and then they
battered
themselves in the debates again, just as they did, you know, in the first Obama election.
And they promised they weren't going to do it again.
Right, right.
Let's take a break. And when we come back, we will continue. We have a lot of other topics that I want to get to. So we will get to those right after this short break. There's an article in the Washington Post this morning that says that while it was considered a pipe dream just a few months ago, that Democrats are now actually believing that they can possibly take back the House of Representatives and say that it is within the realm of possibility. They're not saying that it is a deadlock by any stretch of the imagination, but it is something that they can, seeing what is happening with Donald Trump, can Trump become so unpopular that the Democrats can take back the House of Representatives? And so I bring that issue to the panel this morning to discuss. For almost 5 years now, ever since state legislatures and commissions finished drawing the new congressional districts for this decade, the Republican stranglehold in the House has been taken for granted because of the precise targeting that fortified GOP held swing states to seemingly withstand the toughest political climate. But now that toughest political climate includes Donald Trump, are all bets off.
Do you read anything but the New York Times?
This is the Washington Post.
Okay.
That hurts your argument.
Yeah.
I would love to believe that that article is true, but I don't get it. Right now, there aren't even Democratic candidates in many of the districts that could be up for danger. The Republicans.
Well, I think there are. Well,
no, they're not. If you read the whole article, they don't even have candidates selected, and they're saying, "Oh, we have plenty of time yet." I don't believe it.
Well, on the congressional corner, I've been talking to the Democratic Congress people. Mm. And asking if they really think there's a chance to take back the House. And they do. There have been times in America, Goldwater, great example, and others, that there is this great wash. And even with the gerrymander having reigned so many of the congressional seats because of the Republican-oriented state legislatures, there is this whoosh that just takes over. And I know that the Senate is looking very good for the Democrats right now, but the House was always considered to be way too much of a stretch. Now they're beginning to really think that it's possible. Now, they would say it, but I really do believe they think it's possible.
Yeah, I don't deny that they think it's possible. I think and I agree with the wash, because we've seen it. It's every 2 years, right?
Yeah, it's every two years.
Right. 2008, huge Democratic, the House, the Senate, the presidency. 2 years later,
the House goes.
2 years after that, then a Democratic president. 2 years later, the Senate goes. So
whatever once again, both of you are using past patterns, and you went back as far as 64 to say, okay, there's going to the tailcoat. You know, whoever wins, they're going to just drag in coattails.
So I think,
but
that
I don't think that's true anymore.
But not because of Trump,
especially if it's Hillary on the Democratic side. She's not beloved. She has very high negatives.
Yeah,
people aren't going to say, oh yeah, I want her, and then I'm going to, and then we don't even have lever voting anymore. They don't just go down and pull all the levers.
They're not going to.
They're going to think.
No.
Here's who I want for president. Here's who I want for Congress.
I think I agree with that. I could say I think if I had to bet my daughter's tuition money, on how's it going to go,
I won't.
I would bet on Hillary winning the presidency, but both houses staying where they are.
I have to agree.
And
with
the other thing I'll say, Alan, and I want to hear what you think about this is, I think Trump. It's even the most biased observer can't really say that Trump is representative of the Republican Party. So in other words, I don't think people say, oh, we're so mad at the. I think the Republican Party has so distanced itself from Trump that they're going to say, listen, we don't care who you vote for president, but make sure
Doesn't
you vote for the congressman.
Doesn't matter what they say. Here's the history. If there is a popular presidential candidate on either side, but mostly on the Democratic side, if they show up, they are not going to ignore the other people down the line. They're going to look to see. They don't have the slightest idea who the state senator is, but they're going to look to see who the Democrats are. And while they're there, they're going to vote for the Democrat as they go down the list. They're not going to ignore the other people. That's what happens. And part of this is just when you're around at the wrong time, out you go. Mario Cuomo was around at the wrong time in a Republican year, and he didn't lose by a lot, but he lost.
That was the year I ran for state senate as a Democrat. In a primary.
You just
so
made
I
a lot of,
what?
You just made a lot of people faint.
And then I incomed out of the party after that. So. But yeah, you're exactly right, Alan.
Yeah.
So here's a question. Should corporations be wary of participating in the Republican convention?
That's a great story.
Walmart and other companies who have always participated and sponsored, been major sponsors of both conventions, are saying that they are assessing and having second thoughts about participating in the Republican convention because of the Trump factor.
So why do they get into it in the first place in any of these conventions?
They want to get rich.
They want to curry favor with whoever becomes the president of the United States. So that's what it's all about. They want something back for their participation. And they assess whether they can get hurt by doing this. Look, didn't NBC and Universal, Joe, you're the expert on these facts. Didn't they long ago cut ties with Trump?
Through Univision.
Because they said he insulted Hispanics. Oh, we're not going to do it. And yet their people on the various television shows do anything to get Trump onto the air so that their numbers will go up. So that's what I think. I think they don't want to do it. They have to do it. But in this case, they have a good excuse for not doing it.
I think it's cute when companies try to act like safety or morality or something other than profit is their motive. It's like Nike who dumped what's his name, the golfer who got into trouble
Tiger Woods
when his morality was an issue, but then he started winning again and suddenly, you know, Nike went back to him. That's the same thing here. I don't really care.
You know, remember, Rosemary, conservatives, you know, we're fine doing the right thing for the wrong reasons, you know? we're fine with it, you know? Now, we would accuse liberals sometimes of doing the wrong thing for the right reasons. And we would argue with that.
And you wouldn't be wrong.
Right?
Yeah,
that's true.
It's all about money. And if I like Alan's access argument. The access you get as a sponsor, the parties you go to, the get-togethers, you know, and obviously maybe not with Donald Trump, but all the other players,
2% of the television audience that tunes in.
And, well, I guess anybody who's a corporate sponsor ought not to approach Mr. Trump with, like, say, a dollar bill, because it could be a small bomb or a weapon, and he might be accosted.
Let's not do that again.
That was his statement.
That was his statement. Yeah. Because you're uncomfortable with your position in favor of Mr. Trump on that?
I am not in favor of him.
No, his position on that.
That's not a truth. What's the opposite of not being a truth?
All right.
Donald Trump.
Well, that brought things to a screeching halt.
A lie.
Wow.
Sure did. Okay, we have 2 minutes left. So let me just see what the final topic is here, and then we may go to letters. That's right. We were going to talk about the commuting of the drug sentences.
Right.
This was a big story yesterday. President Obama commuted the sentences of 61 inmates Wednesday, part of his ongoing effort to give relief to prisoners who were harshly sentenced in the nation's war on drugs, and more than one third of the inmates were serving life sentences.
Okay, so good for him, except.
Yes.
You remember the name Willie Horton?
Sure.
So the real question is, you know, Rosemary, for those of you who are not watching this on television, she just made a really bad face. But the truth is, there's a political reality here. He's doing the right thing. There's no question in my mind that Obama is doing the right thing, letting these guys out. But it comes with tremendous political risk. One of those guys does a murder or does something terrible, there's going to be pushback.
He's not taking a political risk. He let go less than 100 people, where there are 9,000 in the situation of having been sentenced under draconian laws, now rejected by the judicial system. And he is going through, his people are going through it, the entire case at a time. He's not going to be in office long enough to let out nearly as many people as ought to be. You need a rule that says anyone sentenced at this time, let's review it and get it out.
I agree. That's an interesting legal argument, that when you have somebody who was sentenced under a regime that has now been changed.
Right.
You know, there's got to be some way of redressing that.
Right.
You know.
But he is so aware of the danger of political kickback.
He doesn't
that
care.
He's, oh, he, oh, yeah, he, Rose, the Democrats
he,
do.
Oh, they are, do, but he doesn't care.
One of his,
he's done.
One of the woman who was in charge of these cases quit over the issue of we're not doing them fast enough. This is just not right.
Well, you know, between that and Guantanamo, he's emptying a lot of people out.
That'd be good. all those people should be free. We have a system that allows for you to be free until you're actually proven guilty.
I still don't get why, and I know this is not my topic.
15 seconds.
I don't get why. Why didn't we just try any of those people?
That would be a good thing. I think many people would like that.
The evidence against them was obtained by means that you can't use in trial.
Torturing.
Have a military trial for all these people? I just never understood that.
Oh.
Either try them or
just put them in the regular courts. Have actually convicted them.
Rosemary's usually the one that pulls the pin on the grenade 10 seconds before we're done. But now it's you. Okay. that's why we'll be back tomorrow to discuss other options. Thank you, Rich.
We love your letter. Be sure when you're right, we're never to lie.
Okay. Rich, Rosemary, Alan, thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for another edition of the panel. We'll continue the roundtable after this short break.